Hello?
Hi, Wayne.
Yeah?
This is Mom.
How you doing, Mom?
All right, how are you?
Okay.
I guess Lena called Barb this morning.
No, Barbara called her.
Well, whatever happened anyway, she was kind of upset and she just talked to me.
What's she upset about?
Apparently Lena's really shook up about John.
Oh, yeah.
Her nerves tore up and everything, and,
I didn't know she talked to her mother about that.
Yeah, she did, and she said that John threatened your life.
Yeah, he's up here acting an ass.
What'd he do?
Me and Ted are sitting here right now just talking about it, wondering whether or not we had a call down there and talk to you guys about it.
Well, tell me all that you know, because I gotta know what's going on. What's he doing?
Shit, he just lost 3 months. You know, him and Terry split up. Terry moved out. He just started acting nasty. He blamed Ted for it, I guess.
Did he threaten to kill you?
I don't think he has. He hasn't threatened to kill me, but he's threatened to kill Teddy and he's threatened to kill Terry.
Holy smoke. Well, from what Lena said, he threatened your life.
No.
That's what got me upset.
No, are you crying?
No, I got the flu. No, but I wouldn't want him to,
He ain't gonna do nothing. The thing is, I'm waiting for him to get back now.
Well, is there any fights or anything between you and him there?
No, I haven't even talked to him. See, I haven't even seen him. Him and Teddy got in a big one the other night, you know, when you called the other night.
Uh-huh.
And they got in a big one. John was all drunk, threatened to blow Teddy away. And then last night, John goes over to Teddy's house, ran in front of a bunch of her friends and starts yelling at her. Boy, bunch of shit.
So. Well, why is he doing all this? I mean, what's he want?
Well, the thing is that, he's got this girlfriend that worked with Terry, you know?
Uh-huh.
And he guess he was really liking her, and she split up from her husband, you know, and was going to get an apartment with him. Then she started seeing what an ass he was, you know? So she didn't want to have anything to do with him, so now he's blaming that on Terry. And then, the thing with Ted, I guess Terry and Ted had a thing going about a year ago or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still mad at Ted about that. And Ted borrowed $20 from him, I guess, about 2 months ago. And John and I pushed out of shape because Ted hadn't paid him back yet.
Well, from what Lena said, he's not even paying any attention to Tawny after Nancy brought her up there.
No, he wasn't. See, he was leaving her with us all the time, you know.
Yeah.
Which was okay, you know, but it was, you know, really putting Tawny through trips. She was always crying and shit. And then all of a sudden, he starts taking Tawny everywhere, and like everything, like when he was, you know, threatening Ted the other night,
uh-huh.
Right in front of Tawny. Tawny was crying and shit. Went took Tawny over to Terry last night, right in front of Terry. Right in front of Tawny, told Tawny that, he didn't want to ever hear of Tawny being around Terry again, not to ever go to her house.
He's torturing the child.
Really, Tawny's a nervous wreck right now, and you know, I can't call his mother and tell her because she would tell John, and then he'd really be on our case.
Yeah.
But Terry tried to tell him, you know, why don't you let her go back to her mother because she was a lot better off.
Uh-huh.
And boy, he just about blew his stack when Terry said that. Because I'm getting all this secondhand shit because he hadn't even talked to me.
Well, from what Lena said, she wants to come straight down here without even stopping at the house. She told Barb because she's too upset to face John and his shit.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's not going to be here when she gets here because I'm kicking his ass out as soon as he gets back.
Today?
Yeah.
Well, now what if you run into a gun or something?
His gun's in his room. He's got to come through the door. Me and Ted's here anyways. You can't pull any shit. But, shit, he fucking wrecked the van, you know that, didn't you?
No.
Yeah, he fucking tore the door up and shit. And he owes me for that, he's gotta get that fixed. So before I go down there, he's gonna fix that for me. And see that, and plus he owes me some other money and shit.
Well, as crazy as he sounds, are you sure it's wise to fool with him?
Yeah, because
especially trying to throw him out when he walks in today. What if he's drunk and he'll come back with a gun and shit?
Fuck him. I got guns too. I'm just as, you know, worried about Lynn and the baby being here too, you know, but I don't know what to do about it. Well, I was just at the goddamn hospital and Terry came up there and told me about it. And, you know, Lena didn't know anything about what happened last night.
Yeah, well, does John know anything about you coming back here?
No.
Uh-huh.
Not yet. But I'm telling him we're going back to California tonight when I see him.
Uh-huh.
So that's why I'm going to tell him I want my van fixed right away. I'm going to put it in the shop. He's got to go down and sign the paper now so I don't get stuck with no bill.
Uh-huh.
It's about a $400 body job. And he's got a motorcycle that he's got to pay me for. And if you don't pay me for it, it's still in my name. I'm going to go sell it. And that kind of shit.
Well, Jesus Christ, I don't know. Anybody that crazy?
Yeah, well, Teddy's kind of worried about him because, well, the thing is that John, well, he's really been talking some racist shit. You know, to calling Ted nigger this and nigger that, and then went over to Terry and called her that last night and shocked the hell out of Terry because he never talked like that to her, you know.
Well, he talked to Vera like that.
Yeah, so, fuck, man. So when Terry came and told me that today, I said, well, that's it, you know, because he was here when I left this morning.
Uh-huh.
So I came straight back down here, and I was telling his ass to get out, but he ain't here now, so I'm just hanging around until he comes back.
Is he drunk today?
No. But Terry's really worried that he's going to be after her ass because that girl that he likes is going to tell him to, you know, not to come around her anymore.
Yeah. Where is John today? Is he working or just...
No, he just put Tony in the car with him and took off somewhere. Ted was just driving in from the hospital, he said, when he left a couple hours ago.
Mm-hmm. How's Lena and the baby today?
Oh, they're great. Well, I get to go in there every time it feeds, see?
Uh-huh.
Get the nurses, and I get to hold it and shit.
Oh, do you?
It's the cutest goddamn little thing you ever saw.
I can hardly wait to see it.
And his head is shaping up perfect.
Yeah, Tommy did. A couple days, it was all in shape.
The doctor said we got a perfect little baby. And at
first
it had a little wheezing, you know,
uh-huh.
The mucus and shit in its lungs. That's cleared up. And nurses all compliment on how good a baby it is. It don't cry. It's got a good disposition. Just whines a little bit when it gets hungry, you know, but it don't cry. All the mother babies are so ugly and crying and screaming and shit. And the baby's got light blue eyes.
Does he?
Yeah, and real dark hair and sideburns and shit.
No, Father said, told him the testimony. I took over to him publicly, and it was really beautiful. People just cheered.
That's what Lena said today. She said her mother said that it was mentioned publicly. You know.
Yeah.
Everybody's really happy.
Oh, it's great.
Well, yeah. Did you go to San Francisco today?
No, we still have a convention here. Everybody be going home today.
Oh, I thought Lena's mother said she was going to San Francisco for a meeting.
This is San Francisco?
Yeah.
Well, we're supposed to be in San Francisco this weekend, but I don't think we're going there tonight. I haven't heard.
Oh.
They could have said it, but if they did, I wasn't here because I've been up in Ukiah looking for Danny, and I finally found him.
Oh, did you tell him?
What?
About the baby?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What'd he say?
Uh-huh. He was real happy. I told him you were coming back, too.
Yeah, what'd he say then?
He said, well, I'll be gone when he gets here.
Well,
but you'll be coming through Reading.
Sure.
So you can stop by.
Yeah.
No, he'd be at that trailer court. I forget the name of it, but I have it. Tim has it on some papers for the trailer.
Did Jim say publicly that we were coming back?
Huh?
Did Jim say publicly we were coming back?
No. Uh-uh. He just said that you had mentioned that you wanted to.
Because Lena's mother said he did.
Yeah, he mentioned that you wanted to. I didn't hear him say that you were on your way.
Yeah. That damn, is it hot down there?
No, it's scorching.
100 and something today.
Well, it's been cooler because it has been around 112, but Father made it nicer because we're so packed in here. All these, you know, these three churches together, this little building. But Father could have said you were coming back when. I'm in and out so much because I'm taking care of meditation sheets too.
Yeah.
But if I didn't hear him say that. The only thing I heard him say was that you have requested to come back. But you know the whole PCM meeting with Father and discuss it.
Well, don't worry about it, because I can handle John.
Well, I am worried about it.
I just did, you know, that damn thing when Terry told me the shit he was pulling on her last night.
Well, you got more to think about now than just your
temper.
That's what I know. You got that baby in Lena, so
that's what I know. So that's why I came straight home, you know. Because I was at the hospital with Lena.
Yeah.
I've been down there as much as I can in between cleaning the house.
Mm-hmm.
Waxing floors and shit.
Yeah. Make sure that you have some disinfect for that toilet before she comes home.
Yeah, really.
And before she ever sets up with those stitches, it has to be disinfected each time.
I think she might have a catheter still hooked up to her when she comes.
Yeah, but in case she doesn't know, have some Lysol and wipe the toilet each time before she sets on, because she gets infection. They have to do a hysterectomy on her.
Right.
She get all inside of her, so with those stitches, she can't get one germ on her.
Okay.
That's mandatory. That's really dangerous.
Yeah, shit, me and Ted were just as you're talking about this.
Well, has he made up his mind what he's going to do? He's going to his mom's, huh?
I don't know.
Yeah.
He wants to come down there with us.
Okay. Well, I wish that Ted would get a hold of that tape recorder, you know, that he took.
Yeah.
That was $500, and that microphone, and get it back here.
About a tape recorder, man. Still got it? Is it up here? California.
Do you still have a tape recorder microphone?
You still have a microphone to it? Yeah.
Well, bring it back when you come, Wade.
Yeah.
That thing was too expensive to lose.
Still want that thing pretty bad, huh?
Huh?
Kids, goddamn, they still want that thing pretty bad, huh?
I'm telling you, that's money. Everything right now that we've got is turned into liquid to get, you know, our shit together. So, well, listen, I'm going to get off this phone. Tell Lena I said hello and give the baby a kiss for me.
Sure.
Father sends his love always.
Mm-hmm.
And take care, and if there's any problems, call.
Okay.
You know, because I...
Rebecca, man, whenever I try to call you, it's impossible to get a hold of you, so, you know.
No, not if you call the church.
Shit. I mean, that shit. Every time I try to call the church, people go, who is this? What do you want?
Well, you know why?
And then after that, they say, okay, it'll take a while. And then about 15 minutes later, right, and then the operator keeps saying, well, I can't hold on. I got to hang up, you know.
Well, there's over 1,000 people in the church. It's packed, Wade.
Yeah.
And I'll leave word in the kitchen, okay?
Yeah.
That if you call to get me immediately.
If I call, I'll just leave a message for you to call me.
Yeah, that's the thing to do. Because it is impossible to find anybody right now. And there's so many threats over the phone, you can't imagine.
Yeah.
And we have instructions to be very leery.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just protection. You ought to see the cars going by here and threatening us. Because our numbers are threatening them right now.
How's Jack Arnold doing? I haven't heard from him.
Oh, he's doing great. He's working day and night up there because we're packing those trucks, big semis, and sending them out to the ship. And he's been in very few services because he's working day and night. He's really involved in it.
Good.
Doing real good. Jack just got in this morning with a big greenery for the Promised Land. And we're really, you ought to see the, it's tripled, the activity's tripled since you've been gone. We're really getting the shit together.
Good.
And even the Hells Angels, you know, came up this weekend. They always come up on the 4th, you know, and go to the lake.
Yeah.
And they came out and stopped and yelled. But shoot, we got rid of them with our security.
They came by the church and
Father's got, it really is impressive. Everyone's dressed alike, you know, with the berets.
They got berets?
Yeah, berets and black suits and really neat, man. I mean, they're standing at attention in uniformity, you know.
Right.
And the Hells Angels, man, backed up. We got 5 impressive-looking security standing right out front. We got a gate across because they were driving in real fast back to his house, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we got regiment regimented security everywhere in their same suits, and they can be spotted. Father walks down the street, you know, and it's so impressive. People just back up and stare. They don't dare bother us. It's really neat. So with those big muscles standing out front in those suits, all in at attention, you know, it kind of makes people back up when they try some shit. But we still get the phone calls galore. But go ahead and try anyway. If I wish there was another number I could give you.
I don't think there'd be any problems this way.
But it's the only place I'll be unless I be at my house, is at the church.
So Marvin doesn't live there anymore?
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm going to college.
Well, when I called there, people said, well, we don't know anything about Melvin.
Well, there's about 25 people in that house right now. When did you call?
What was it? A couple days ago.
Yeah, well, so for the last 4 days, Melvin and I've been sleeping in the car because the place is packed. Every bus was loaded to capacity with people, standing room only.
Isn't that a trip how baby was born on the 4th of July?
Yeah. Yeah, it's really a trip.
You know, because with the independence thing and all, you know?
Yeah.
I really took it, you know, significant because we didn't expect it for another 2 or 3 weeks.
We didn't even
consider it being on the 4th.
But the independence is that the bastards are celebrating the independence of taking the land away from the Indians. That's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
But we can...
Huh? But I know that.
Yeah, but we can think of it in a positive way. About the baby being born. When all the convention was together. Father was here. Father's been out on business for quite a few days. He's got back. He's doing a lot of things, getting us prepared, and there's a lot of work involved in it. But if you've seen the papers with Wallace and all that shit.
Yeah, I've been reading about that.
And you know, it's really becoming dangerous, and I wish I could tell you something really funny that happened, but I'm afraid to repeat it over the phone to you know, him back there about his leg.
Yeah.
But you can imagine, there was a wish made. It happened same day. Broke his fucking leg. Well, I'm gonna let you go. I'm gonna get back over to service. But when Barbara told me that, I just worried the crap out of me. I wanted to find out what was going on.
Well, I wish Lenny hadn't said anything.
Well, she's worried, and Barbara's worried. So I'm gonna go and tell Barb not to.
Not as bad as Lena made it seem.
Well, right now Lena's in a state of anxiety.
Really?
All of her nerves, everything shot, having that baby. That's quite a trauma going through that shit, you know. So.
Did you know that her heart had stopped during the operation? Lena's head?
No, but I don't doubt it because it sounds like Father, from what he said, it was either her or the baby, and she didn't have much of a chance anyway.
Yeah, really, the doctor. I didn't even find out about this till the day after. The doctor said that they couldn't find any blood pressure, no pulse, and no heart on her. And they were working, you know, really frenzied and shit, trying to get her to start breathing again.
Uh-huh.
And then when they got her to start breathing again, then the baby's heart started skipping. Well, they were, you know, having a hell of a time.
They couldn't have made it without Father stepping in.
No.
He just, it was so beautiful. Father said, way up in Washington, here I sit, and I was just in Washington. Isn't that beautiful?
It is. You know, I tell you, I was thinking on it, so as soon as I started thinking about it, I started feeling better, because I figured, you know, well, ain't going to be no problem now, you know.
It's beautiful. Yeah, I told Danny how Father saved you and your family, and he was impressed.
Good, good.
So maybe he'll come to his senses one of these days. They sure messed him up. Told him all that shit they did.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to let you go, so if you need to reach me, try that church, and I'm going in telekitchen.
Okay.
That, if I ever get a call, to let me know immediately.
Okay, Mom.
Okay, Wade.
Later on.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. Hello?
Is this Reverend Jones?
Yes, this is he.
Yes, this is Michael Prokes. I'm an associate at People's Temple.
Michael Prokes.
Ministerial Association.
Yes, I remember. When my wife and I thought was the young man up at school up here.
Well,
I remember you now.
Anyway, I'm calling regarding a situation involving a member of ours who lived in Mrs. Bertie Marable's rest home, who asked us to help move her because she feared for her life after witnessing Mrs. Marable's violent actions on a number of occasions. And the reason I'm calling you is that Mr. Ross Case was over there when we went to help move the woman, Mrs. Letourneau, and he is saying that you and your church are backing him up in this matter. Mr. Case said that you were involved in trying to get Mrs. Letourneau declared incompetent when she is anything but incompetent. We didn't believe this. We didn't believe this and wanted to call you. She may be elderly, but she's still very lucid. You see, she just happens to know all the facts about Mrs. Marable's, how she operates, because Mrs. Marable stole Mrs. Letourneau's gifts from relatives and defrauded her out of thousands of dollars, which we can prove. And she even told her one time that she wanted to get an abortion and got Mrs. Letourneau to loan her money for that. And Mrs. Letourneau's relatives are very upset about it. Some live in the East. I think one of them is the same faith as you. But she tried to keep a couch of Mrs. Letourneau's and that she hadn't even paid for, and then finally gave it up just yesterday when the landlord went there and saw it. He also witnessed her coming out and threatening a few of us who were there with a pickup to load Mrs. Letourneau's things. And Mrs. Letourneau saw her attempt to stab her companion in the past, and Mrs. Marable also had a knife yesterday behind her back. And so this is the atmosphere Mrs. Letourneau had to, in which Mrs. Letourneau had to move her things. And so the first time a couple of our people, you know, went to help pick up her things, they got slugged by Mrs. Marable, which the police, who were called there as a precaution, witnessed and can verify. Then following that incident, Mrs. Marable called one of our members using very vulgar and obscene language, and as she ran it on, the secretary happened to be there and snapped the tape recorder and got her remarks recorded, which, you know, we can play, you know, you can hear. We submitted it to the Chief Salisbury, but we could get a copy for you if you'd like to hear firsthand the type of person we're dealing with here. And she talks like a fishwife, and Case was with her yesterday, and he got her off someplace, leaving the patients all alone. And so another person who went to visit her aunt, Mrs. Marable wouldn't let her at first, but then when she called earlier, but when the woman showed up with the landlord, she let her in, and the aunt, who was partially paralyzed, you know, was in quite a bit of pain because she had to use the bathroom, and, you know, Mrs. Marable and Case were off, and the patients had no one to help them. But she's trying to keep her patients from being visited so they won't be able to tell what they know about this. And anyway, we also have good, clear proof of Mr. Case's immoral character in the past. And so we knew that what he said about you was just another one of his lies. And since our pastor is in the city, we're just trying to do the best we can with this. But we've all heard him praise your character and dedication to Christ, which I can appreciate because it was only Jim Jones that made Christ real for the first time in my life when I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. It was November 2nd in 1972. But anyway, we just thought you would certainly want to be apprised of all this in case you were contacted. And
I know this is the first time I've ever heard of Mrs. Letourneau by name or anything. I don't know any of the patients.
Oh, I see.
I don't know. I just heard that there were some problems up there, and there's been a break or a breach or something. And I didn't know anything, but I don't know any of the patients. I never heard of Mrs. Letourneau before.
Maybe just moved in recently. One of the rooms in the back just moved in this week, I guess. But I don't know any. I used to know Jamie Brown and Ruth, Truth Hart or something like that. But I understand they're both gone.
Yeah. Was it Mr. Case who gave you the information? I was wondering if he had already said something to you, because I was just calling to kind of set this thing straight. She's known to be a pathological liar, and she already has told things which we've caught her in, and the officials have been properly notified and are aware of all this. So.
Thank you for calling.
Well, no.
I'll check with all this.
Well, the main thing, right, we just wanted you to have that background so you know how things get all blown out of proportion. And the woman is had tricked a number of people for some time, including the landlord. She, got in there under false pretenses. She went through another person whom the landlord thought he was renting to, and he doesn't happen to be a member of our church, but he went over and saw, how she can become, the vicious side of her. But she's taken money for various things, like to pay her rent. She's gotten loans from Mrs. Letourneau, and even one of Ms. Letourneau's check stubs, she said, shows that, she gave her money to go to Reno. She gambles quite a bit. And so the authorities are quite interested in the case. And we just thought that in case you were getting some feedback on it, that you'd want to be apprised of this. So.
Okay. Well, thank you for calling, Mike.
Okay. And we know that your character... We know that you said nothing we thought that Mr. Case, the way he was talking when we were over there was, just spreading rumors about the situation. So that's the main reason for it. And if there's, if there's anything else you hear, just feel free to contact us anytime.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
That's okay. That's all right.
Yes. All right. Goodbye.